Beis Adar, 9th of March, Rabbi Alan Kimchi, Shabbos in the Mishkan.
Thoughts about the parsha. One has to see Vayakel Pekudei as the concluding episode of the five parshas: Truma Tzaveh, Kisiso, Vayakel Pekudei. All these five parshas constitute really one story, the story of the Mishkan. And what's happening, of course, in Vayakel Pekudei is that Moshe Rabbeinu is transmitting to Klal Yisrael, b'chol protecho v'diktukeho, with all the details, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him earlier about the Binyan HaMishkan, b'kelov, b'gdei kahuna, everything required to construct and create the Mishkan. But Moshe Rabbeinu does something uncharacteristic, does something unusual. He makes a change in what he was told. And this change is the subject of many of the classical Mepharshim who see in it something, a very profound understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu. And I'd like, time permitting, to share with you a question, this question, and if I have time, three answers of Gedolei HaMepharshim to this question. The question is as follows. We find in Truma Tzaveh and the first half of Kisiso, Moshe Rabbeinu is receiving what we call Tzivui HaMishkan. In other words, nothing's been collected yet, nothing's being made, nothing is being said to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is simply receiving from the Ribbono Shel Olam Tzivui HaMishkan, what has to be done in the future, collecting Zohar v'Chesed v'Nechoshes, making all the Aron, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach. He gets the Tzivui. At the very, very end, middle of Kisiso, when he's finished receiving the whole Tzivui HaMishkan, the Torah tags on to the end of it, Ach et Shabsosai Tishmoy. Ach, the famous Ach, which means that despite the overwhelming Kedusha of the Mishkan, it doesn't override Shabbos. Now, no malach is allowed to be done on Shabbos. Ach et Shabsosai Tishmoy. Rishamru B'nai Yisrael is a Shabbos, Lasa Shabbos, middle of Kisiso. And that brings to the end the Tzivui HaMishkan. In fact, those of you familiar with Masechet Shabbos know that one of the Yesod HaYesodos of the whole of Hilchos Shabbos is that what is Taka Osa on Shabbos? Only all those Malachos which were done in the Mishkan. How do we know that? Achas Shabbos HaTishmeiru. Because that's what the Torah forbids explicitly, is to do Malachos HaMishkan on Shabbos. And that is the Makor for the understanding of Hilchos Shabbos. Fine. What happens then? We have the second half of Kisiso, which is the Egel, the Cheta Egel, the Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tshuva, and the creation of the second Luchas, Psal Lachoshne Luchas Avonim. And then by Yakel Pekudei, we have Maise HaMishkan. Not Tzivui HaMishkan, but Maise HaMishkan. In other words, now Moshe Rabbeinu tells them what Taka needs to be done. What has to be collected? What has to be manufactured? What craftsmanship is needed? What are all the Klei HaMikdash, etc.? And also he combines Shabbos with the Mishkan, the opening psukim of Vayakel, right? The two psukim of Vayakel, the very, very beginning, right? What does it say? It says, Shabbos in Kodesh Lashem, Mesuvaru Eish Kol Moshe Moseichem. And then he gives, what's happened here? What's happened is Moshe Rabbeinu has switched the order. He switched the sequence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Mishkan, and then Shabbos. And Moshe Rabbeinu teaches Shabbos, and then Mishkan. In other words, he's of course transmitted exactly all the protein as he was instructed to transmit, but he's changed the order. And it's very striking that he's in some way modified the Tzivui Hashem. And this is Omer Dorsheli. This is Tzorich Eon. This is something we need to look at a bit more closely. But for that, I need first a small cup of coffee. Let's start with the Kli Yoker. The Kli Yoker asks this question and gives the following answer. A very beautiful answer, again a subject which has many, many applications to it. But he says like this, he says, we find in the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael a type of mutual, what might be called a mutual admiration relationship, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always makpid to give priority to the kavod of Klal Yisrael, to praise Klal Yisrael, whereas Klal Yisrael are always particular to praise Kvod Shamayim, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? In fact, the yesod for this is the well-known Medrash Chazal in the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Brachos, where the Gemara asks the question, what's written in the Tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now, of course, everybody understands that there is no Tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a Midrashic metaphor that Chazal are asking, were HaKadosh Baruch Hu to wear Tefillin, what would have been written in his Tefillin? To which the answer the Gemara gives is, if an outfilling is written, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad, that we are Meshabeach, the Achdus, the uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, clearly in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin is written what? Mika Amcha Yisrael Goyecha Baretz. Mika Amcha Yisrael. Meaning, we are Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's Meshabeach HaKadosh, says the Marsha on that Gemara. This is a relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, which is called Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li. That's what it's called. This pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, captures this particular relationship, love relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Says the Kli Yoker, this idea is the mafteach for understanding the answer to this question. He says the Mishkan was the biggest compliment to Klal Yisrael. It was the shvach, it was the praise of Klal Yisrael, that we were able to build somewhat a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mashresh chinosai. That was the great gift. But that we were able to create such kedusha, that's the great gift. And that is the great shevach of Klal Yisrael. Whereas Shabbos is the shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the women shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, that he's the Beir Olam, it is Mitzrayim, Tchil HaMikrei Kodesh. All the kedushas of Shabbos relate to the our acknowledgement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Kli Yoker as follows. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says first Mishkan and then Shabbos, because he wants to give priority to the praise of Klal Yisrael, which is Mishkan. And then afterwards he says, oh, and don't forget Shabbos. Don't let Mishkan override Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he is giving it over to Klal Yisrael, he says, as far as we're concerned, the first thing we need to do is to give Shabbat to HaKadosh Baruch. Shabbos, Shabbos, and Kodesh La'ashem. Once we've done that, then we can build the Mishkan. I think this is a very beautiful idea, which we find in several places. I think this particular vort is famous among the kids as one of the Divrei Torah for Seder night, the Kedushas Halevi, Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, a few centuries after the Kli Yoker, brings this idea down as why it is that the Torah calls Pesach Chag HaMatzos, right? And we call it Pesach. We call the Yom Tov Pesach. The Torah never calls the Yom Tov Pesach. In the Torah, Pesach means the Korban. The Yom Tov is never called Pesach. We call it Pesach. But the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzos, says the Kedushas Levi. This you say, right? This you say that to say Chag HaMatzos is a Shevach of Klal Yisrael. So the Torah wants to praise us. That we're willing for a week to eat only matzahs. For some people, it's not so easy to do. But we don't want to call it Chag HaMatzos. We want to call it Chag HaPesach, because Pesach is a Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sheposach HaBotei Mitzrayim, Vesamos Seinu Hitzil. So this principle is a principle which appears a few times. I'll just mention one other example of it, which I find fascinating, which also I think some people are aware of, and that is in Parshas Boi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu in the very beginning of chapter 12, Parshas Boi, the Korban Pesach, that they should check the Pesach and take the blood of the Pesach, v'nosno ashtei hamezuzos v'al hamashkef, and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel. Moshe Rabbeinu, a few psukim later, tells over this tzivui to Klal Yisrael, And what does he say? He says, "V'higatem al hamashkel for shnei amezuzos." He switches the order. If you pay attention, have a look in chapter 12. Moshe is told that the blood has to go on the two doorposts and on the mashkov, in that order. And he says it punkfakert. He says first the mashkov and then the shtei hamezuzos. You have a look at the kliyaka there. He says the same thing, that the shtei hamezuzos represent the leadership of Klal Yisrael, the Avos Ha'olam, and the mashkov represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is hashkifo min b'ayin kodesh, is the hashkofa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from above. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, you should put it al shtei hamezuzos on a mashkev. That the Ike is the leadership of Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond to the tefillahs of Moshe and Aaron, and then the Gula will come. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, it doesn't work that way. It works first the mashkev, and then the shtei hamezuzos. But the yesod is the same yesod. Do you understand what's going on here? The yesod that Moshe Rabbeinu is willing to make small adjustments in order to bring in a greater Shebach. We do this a lot in our minhagim, under the chuppah. Before we say something after Samach and Ava Achva Shalom Bereus and all the Shebach of the young couple and the family and everything, and the Chatonim and the caterer and everybody, before we do that, what do we say? We say, Shehakel Boro Lichvede. That's right. That's the Rishis Chachma. The first thing we say is Shehakel Boro Lichvede. Once we've said Shehakel Boro Lichvede, then you can build any Mishkan you want to. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them. Before you start building the Mishkan, you should know Shabbos Shabbos and Kodesh Hashem, Shabbos the Shebach of the Borei. So far the Kliyaka. The second Teretz I want to share with you very briefly is more in the world of Chassidus. I'm sure this will warm the hearts of quite a few of the members here. The world of Chassidus is the Shem Yishmuel of Sokachov also asks this question. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu switching the order between Shabbos and Mishkan? And he says, if you look in the Pasuk at the beginning of Vayakel, he says, "Kechu me'itchem trumo l'Hashem, kol nadiv liboy yivi eho es trumas Hashem." The word yivi eho is a problematic word. Pasuk should have said, "Kol nadiv liboy yivi es trumas Hashem." What's yivi eho? What is he bringing? Right? He's not just bringing the trumas Hashem; he's also bringing something else. He's bringing it. What is the it? So, in classic Hasidic style, Shem Yishmael says what he's really bringing is the full nedivus halev. When a person brings a contribution of zahav or chesef and nechoshes, it's true that in the world of the olam hamaisa, what he's bringing is physical matter, material to build the base of mikdash. But baruchli is what he's bringing is his nedivus halev. He has to bring his full nedivus halev, his full generosity, his full altruism, his full desire to give and to contribute and to be part of Klal Yisrael, and that has to be b'shleimus. That says the Shem Yishmuel, that's what he's really bringing. So what's that going to do with this kasha? So here the Shem Yishmuel goes down a route which is a bit different to Rashi. And this actually is a subject for a whole separate shia, but some of you might be aware of the fact that in these five parshas, Truma Tetzavik Yisisim Yakov Pekudei, actually the sequence of events is a dispute. Rashi says in Kisisa, "Vayar ha'om kiboshes Moshe," that Moshe come down. Says Rashi, "Ein mukta mucha b'teira, ein mukta mucha b'teira." It's not true that the Chet Ha'egel took place after the Tzivui HaMishkan. Really, he says the it happened before. That was before the Chet Ha'egel. There was no Tzivui HaMishkan. The Chet Ha'egel came at the Tzivui HaMishkan came only as a response to, and as a kapara for the Chet Ha'egel. Right? This is actually a very tifa inyan, I must be honest with you. This is something which is really a big subject. Rashi doesn't go into it in great detail. But the Sforno, if you look in the Sforno in a few places, the Sforno makes a big issue out of this. The Sforno says that the whole Maisa HaMishkan, with the Kesef and the Zov and the Big Dik Kahuna and everything, was, if one can use such word, was b'di'evet. Wasn't the Chatzchila. It wasn't Plan A. Plan A was that after Matan Torah, B'chol Mokim Asher Azkei Es Shemi, Ovoy Elecho Beirachticho, that Klal Yisrael, that the Shechina is available to every individual in any place, without Zohov, without Keser, without Nechoshes, without Korbanos Tzibur, without Big Day Kahuna, without any of that. Why does one need Zohov and Nechesef to have the Shechina in this world, asks the Sforno. That wasn't the Lechatchila plan. The Chatzkele plan was different. But because of the Chet Egel, the Torah speaks to us, the Chet Egel shows clearly the human weakness for needing physical demonstration and physical material objects and places to grasp onto. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the whole Mishnah. But actually, in the beginning, it wasn't meant to be like that. Says Hashem Yishmuel, that actually so the Shem Yishmuel doesn't actually go down Rashi's derech. He goes down the derech of the Ramban. The Ramban learns the sugyas kipshuto. The Ramban learns not like Rashi. The Ramban learns that first Moshe Rabbeinu received the tzivui hamishkan. He received the instructions to build the mishkan, and then the egel took place, and then there was the ma'aser hamishkan. Right. So he says that before the cheta egel, when Moshe Rabbeinu was originally given the Tzivui HaMishkan, says Hashem Yishmael, people were on a madrega, such a personal madrega, that their ego didn't interfere with their Nedivus HaLev. The Nedivus HaLev was complete. They could give it Belev Sholem. Right? They didn't, as he writes here, Einu Machzik Tova La'atzmai. This is one of the themes in Chassidus, that when a person does a mitzvah, he has to be careful not to be machzik tova l'atzma, not to go around doing a mitzvah thinking, oh, look how great I am, look what a wonderful mitzvah I'm doing, aren't I wonderful? That's the ego disturbing the nedivus halev. When it's to do with anava and with bitul ayesh, that is the derech of Chassidus, says Hashem Yishmuel, that Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed first Mishkan and then Shabbos. But that was before the Egel. After the Egel, Klal Yisrael had a difficulty giving with Nedivus HaLev. The only way to reach a level of Nedivus HaLev, to give it properly without the ego, says the Shem Yishmael, is through Shabbos. Shabbos gives us that, raises us to that level of Kedusha, that then we're able to give with Nedivus HaLev. And therefore, says the Shem Yishmael, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to give over the Mishkan, he first says Shabbos. First Shabbos, Shabbos, and Kodesh LaShem. Once you do Shabbos, Shabbos, and Kodesh Lashem, then you can get, you can give Kol Nadiv Lev Yivi Eha, as Trumas Hashem, you're able to give not only the physical donation, you're able to give it with a Lev Sholem. That is the Shem Yishmuel. The third Perush is the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, who really also goes down the route of the Ramban, explains that the difference between Moshe receiving first Mishkan and then Shabbos, and afterwards he says first Shabbos and then Mishkan, is because he understood that after the Egel, Klal Yisrael needed, before they could build the first bit of the Mishkan, they needed a kapara for the Egel. They needed a kapara. So we're used to thinking that the Mishkan is the kapara for the Egel. The Aruch Chaim here changes that a little bit. And the Aruch Chaim says, now we see, so he quotes a beautiful Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches. The Gemara there darshans a pasuk that's familiar to us from the Haftarah of Eitanus Tzibur. Dirsha Hashem Behimotzai, like Yeshaya chapter 56. Dirsha Hashem Behimotzai is a beautiful part of Yeshaya. And in it says, Ashrei Enosh Yaseh Zeis, Uven Adam Yavzik Ba, Kol Shem Shabbos Mechalaloi. Shem Shabbos Mechalaloi. On that, the Gemara in Shabbos asked the question, why Enosh? What's Enosh got to do with it? Ashrei Enosh Yaseh Zeis. Unusual to use the word Enosh. Ashrei Adam Yaseh Zeis. Why Enosh? So the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Yud Ches, says that Enosh was the name of a person. Enosh, according to Chazal, was the beginning of what? Avodah Zorah. Avodah Zorah begins in Parshas Bereishis with someone called Enosh. Right, that's the beginning of Avodah Zorah. Says the Gemara, Afilu Oved Avodah Zorah Kedor Enosh, even someone who does the greatest Avodah Zorah like Enosh did, Shabbos is Mechaper for him. He gets Kapara through Shabbos. Shabbos has such a power that in a sense, Avodah Zorah undermines one's entire Avodah Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, whereas Shabbos supports one's whole Avodah Hashem. Shabbos is the Yesod HaYesodus, and it's the antidote to Avodah Zorah. So before the Egel, so here comes the Aruch Chaim, which I think is brilliant. Before the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu is told, make a Mishkan, and don't forget, don't do it on Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to give it and says, wait a minute, it's now after the Egel. We can't go and build a Mishkan. We first have to get Kapara for the Egel. How do we get Kapara for the Egel? Shabbos. So first he says Shabbos, Shabbos, and Kodesh LaHashem. We first have to have Shabbos. Once we've got Shabbos, we get a kapara for the Egel, for Avodah Zarah. And only then can we build the Mishnah. It's interesting to connect here, for just very briefly, the Taz, a very beautiful Taz, the first Taz in Hilchos Shabbos, Reish Mem Beis, the very first Taz, quotes this Gemara, that Shabbos has the power to bring a kapara for even Avodah Zarah. So he asks the question, he says the Taz, I don't understand. What do we need Shabbos for as a kapara for Avodah Zarah? If he's done tshuva, he'll get kapara without Shabbos. If he hasn't done tshuva, he won't get kapara even with Shabbos. That's kasha of the Taz. First Taz, Hilchos Shabbos, I've shortened it a little bit, but that's basically the question. So he says, no. He says, of course it's talking about someone who's done tshuva. But the Gemara in Yuma says that if a person is over on Krisus or Misas Bezdin, even after you do tshuva, there's still Yisurim and only Misa Machaperes, and one only gets Kapara at the very end of one's life. So he says, if a person does tshuva, and is Shemir Shabbos, the Shmiras Shabbos wipes out any other Yisurim Chas V'Shalom or any other Einesh that a person might deserve, and therefore I think that connects in very nicely here with this Arachayim HaKadosh. The Arachayim says that Moshe Rabbeinu says Shabbos first to ensure that by the time they came to give the Nadiv Lev, to give to the Mishkan, they'd already achieved the full Kapara for the Chet HaEgel. Okay, lots of other very interesting things. Also, for some reason, time always is my enemy in these different Torah. There's so much wonderful things here. My most favorite Balaturim on the Parsha, I must share with you. One of the wonderful things about the Balaturim is that it's usually just three or four words in the Balaturim. And then you've got to go and figure it out. But, so the Pasuk says, in this week's Parsha, that when it comes to making the Adonim, the foundations, the sockets, I think they usually translate it out. So the sockets of the Mishkan were made out of silver. What were they made out of? The silver of the Machzor HaShekel. Right? The Machzor HaShekel was molten down into these solid sockets, put into the ground, and then the kroshim were clicked into these sockets. Says the Pasuk, Ma'as Adonim, Ma'as Kikar Kesef. There were 100, it was 100 Kikar Kesef, was the weight of the money collected for the for the Machzor HaShekel, and they made out of that 100, they needed 100 Adonim. Right? There were 48 Kroshim, I think. 48 Kroshim meant 96 Adonim, and then there were four separate Adonim for the Parochus. It came to 100 Adonim that were required. Good. Says the Balaturim in one line, he says, this is the origin of the Gemara in Minachas and the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch and Chaim, that Chayiv Odom Levorich Mea Brachos B'chol Yoim. Well, this is a beautiful, if you think about that for a minute, this is a classic Balaturim, that he's joining the dots in an unusual way. Chazal came out of the blue and said, we've got a mitzvah to make Mea Brachos B'chol Yoim. What is the origin of that? Says the Balaturim, what was the yesod of the Mishkan? Of course, the Mishkan had lots of different aspects to it, the Menorah, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach, but what was the yesod ha-yesodus? It was the Adonim. And the Adonim, there were 100 of them, and the Torah emphasizes it again and again. Ma'as Adonim, Mea Kikar Kesef. So he says, this 100, these are the yesodus of our Avodas Hashem. And Bismanenu, that we don't have the Mishkan, what is the yesod of our Avodas Hashem? It's brachas. You make 100 brachas a day, you've got 100 adonim, you've got 100 sockets to your Avodas Hashem. You're firmly grounded in your Avodas Hashem through this beautiful idea. This is making mea brachas. I think also it's a slight play on words, which he loves, the Balaturim, that the word adonim is of course also connected to what? Adnus. The Shem Hashem that we say, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, right? Is marumas in the word, right? And if there's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Yusodim al Adnei Paz, that the foundations of our Avodas Hashem are Adonim, in the sense our ability to mention the Shem Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So he says the origin of Mea Brachas, beautiful. Really, I think it's a stunning Balaturim, beautiful insight. We have time for one other thing here. One other short. I've got another 4 minutes, all right? Four minutes. Don't want to encroach on the next episode here of this program. So the Kalim and the Mishkan were made of Kesef and Choshes. But when it came to the Kior, the Torah says something unusual. It says this Kior was made not just done from the Choshes, but it was made from a particular collection of the Choshes. We don't know, for example, the menorah. We don't know which gold it was used from. It was gold. They collected gold, and from the gold they made the menorah. From the gold they made the Oren. But who donated that gold there, mates? We don't know exactly. When it comes to the Kior, we're told it was from the women. The women donated. What did they donate? So long before the production of glass mirrors, we are accustomed to glass mirrors. Long before the production of glass mirrors, the ancient world, the ancient Egyptians, had mirrors of polished copper and bronze. It wasn't glass. It was highly polished copper and bronze, and that was the mirrors. Right? So the pasuk there says that the keel was made from that copper. Not shim hatsoiva, from the hatsoiv marois. Use the word marois. The marois means the mirrors. Hatsoiv ois. The maros hatsoiva. It's what tsoivos means. So that's the whole question here. What does tsoivos mean? So maros hatsoivos, but it means there was a large group of women. Tsovor means usually a large group of people. Tsovos hashamayim, right? And there were mirrors. So a large group of women came with mirrors, donated them to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, and out of that was made the Kiyah. Why the mirror? Why the women and the Kiyah? Okay, there's a lot to be said about this. What's interesting here is, two Perushim, one from Rashi and one from the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra is quoted by the Ramban. But it's interesting that depending on which Perush you take will depend what is the limud here from this story. So right, what does Rashi say famously? Rashi says, right, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when the women came with their mirrors, Moshe Rabbeinu said, no thank you. These mirrors have been used for women to make themselves beautiful in order to promote marital life, in order to make themselves more attractive to their husbands. That's a world of taiva, that's a world of gashmias. That it's not appropriate that that should be incorporated in the construction of the Mishkan. The Mishkan is pure Kedusha and Tara. Comes around Kadosh Baruch and says, no, absolutely, you've got the wrong idea. This was done, Bikdusha v'Tara. It's true it was done to promote marital life, but without these mirrors, we wouldn't have had the next generation. Because the men were getting depressed in it in Mitzrayim. They were oppressed and depressed, and they were persecuted and enslaved, and they would never have wanted to have more children. But the women knew that there was a future. The women had an optimism about the next door. It's an amazing thing, this. The women understood more than the men did, which is not so unusual. We all know this. The women understood that what's happening now will pass, but we need a new door. Right, throughout the history of Klal Yisrael, there's always been anias and persecution and redifas of one sort or another, but the women produced the next door of Klal Yisrael. Says, I can scroll over to Moshe Rabbeinu. No, these mirrors are particularly beloved to me because this marital life that they engaged in, and they used the mirrors to make themselves beautiful for their husbands, this is part of the Kedusha and Tara of Klal Yisrael. That's Rashi, and that's a very beautiful message. Comes along the Ibn Ezra, the Ramban quotes the Ibn Ezra, he supports it from Unkelus, and he says, that's not the right pshat here. Not the right pshat here. On the contrary, he says, if the women, if this were the right pshat, I'm reinterpreting a little bit Ibn Ezra, but what he's saying really is, if this were the right pshat, Moshe Rabbeinu should say to them, keep your mirrors. You're doing a good job. Don't give me your mirrors. You need your mirrors to continue creating the next dar and continue making yourself beautiful. Why are you taking their mirrors away from them? It must be, says the Ibn Ezra, he says, Shahoyu noshim uvdois Hashem, v'soru mitayvoi zeho eilom, v'nosnu marasehem nadova. These women who came to give their mirrors were women who wanted to make a statement that we don't want any more to live in the world of making ourselves beautiful and making ourselves attractive in the world of fashion and makeup and marital relationships. We want to enter into, chas v'sholem, in front of the Aron HaKodesh, to say, sort of a nunnery of some sort. We want to give in our mirrors. Giving in the mirrors, says Ibn Ezra, was an exit visa for them from the world of beauty and chitzenius. We don't want to look in the mirror anymore. We want to live a life of pure avodas Hashem. We want to go to a women's only kailah and to live Pesach Oyel Mayit. And he says that they're going to be mispalel. They came lispalel b'lishmoya divrei amitzvos. They came to learn Torah and to daven. According to the Ibn Ezra, it comes out that they came to give their mirrors, and Moshe Rabbeinu accepted them. So Moshe Rabbeinu accepting them, according to Rashi, it's interesting. According to Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu accepting the mirrors, by doing so, he's endorsing the use of the mirrors to make themselves beautiful, to continue in their life, feminine life, of married to life and making themselves beautiful. According to Ibn Ezra, Moshe Rabbeinu accepting their mirrors, he was accepting the idea that there could be a group of women who could opt out of that and join a kollel for women and spend all day being mispalel and learning Torah. And it's up to you, Rabbeinu, to choose which of these two perushim you enjoy more. I wish you all a very good Shabbos.
Shabbos. Well, since the beginning.